Well, welcome this evening to a wonderful snowy night of prayer. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Daniel, and we're going to need, as a part of our praying, we're praying from the scriptures tonight, and that's just a wonderful, wonderful habit to cultivate, praying the scriptures back to God, following the pattern. So either in your own Bible or they're right by the hymn books, there are Bibles there, you can grab one. And we're going to be in Daniel 9 primarily for our time together tonight. And also, one of these sheets would be very helpful. And if you didn't get one out of your bulletin this morning, Bob Drenth has one, and I don't know who else has some. But if you need one, go like this, and Bob's going to find you. Right there he is. So all over the place. Kirby's way in the back over there. But if you need one, keep your hand up, and he'll get one to you. And as we're getting those passed out, I'm just going to start reading this, and what would be helpful is, as I'm reading this, if you have a pen, you can actually trace what I'm showing you in your Bible and in the future. If you're on a camp out, if you're on some event where you have free time, or, you know, at a retreat or some type of an event where you are called on at the spur of the moment to lead the prayer time, you can say, well, we could follow the Acts model. ACTS, and you would, if you open right to Acts 9, you'd have it all marked in your Bible, and that's one of the blessings. In fact, today I was pulling a book off my shelf, and I actually have a book that my wonderful wife got me that is the written notes in the margins of the pastor of Moody Memorial Church, Harry Ironsides in Chicago, and Ironsides would outline everything he taught in the Bible, in his Bible, as he taught in the church, in his Bible. And it finally got so worn out that the Moody Press took his Bible and had typeset all of his notes. And one of them was this Acts model, this ACTS model. So just for you to know, it's a wonderful passed on through the generations things. But look at your notes, and we're going to go to the side that says an evening of prayer using the Acts model. And it says, one of the biblical models to follow in prayer can be found in the prayers of Daniel. Now remember, Daniel's prayers are amazing. Daniel was a super executive manager director of one of the, well, the actual first world empire, Babylon, because God embodied all the kingdoms of the earth as a head of gold. That was Babylon, and that's what Daniel was the administrator of, that top kingdom of gold. And so he practice and cultivated prayer in his ultra-kinetically filled life of watching over 120 provinces and indescribable wealth. And so he's such a model for us of prayer. But this one is a very special prayer. And using the Acts model, and now I'd like you to remember, if you read something and hear something and say something, it goes from 5% retention to about 75%. So we're going to increase our memory of tonight 15-fold by you just reading. So the Acts model are these four words, and let's say them together. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Now don't look down and see if you can remember them. Okay, now you're going to get the 100% level. Okay, you ready? A.
Adoration.
And C.
Confession.
And T, thanksgiving. And S, supplication. Good. So you have that Acts, and we've heard of this all of our lives. But using the Acts model from Daniel 9, we'll blend our hearts and lives closer together through praying with one another in a small group of any size you choose. And I'm reading this now so you can start thinking. The ideal size for this to work is 2 or 3, because you're going to be alternating between adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. It's very hard to do the C part with someone you've never seen before. And it's also very hard for others to understand some of the supplications part if you have to spend so much time explaining your supplication. So just while I'm talking, think about, is there a 2 or 3 group around you that you could link up with or whatever? But not yet, but just start processing that. But we're going to start going through Daniel 9, and I'd like to trace the Acts model from there and go through each of the stages with you. So, and we'll even do some reading from the scripture. So look at Daniel 9, and this entire chapter, I mean, this is one of the great chapters. If you know anything about biblical prophecy, this is one of the premier chapters that connects together God's plan that and the covenant he made with Abraham all the way through past the church era and into what we would call the end of days. As God says, this is where we find out that the coming leader of the tribulation period is someone from the Roman Empire, because it says here the people that leveled your city Jerusalem are the ones that are coming back in the end. And so all that's in chapter 9, but we're going to do the first half of the chapter. So starting in verse 1 of Daniel 9, a time signature: in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes. Ah, there's something in the news. That's the Kurds today. The Median Empire is Kurdistan today. So if you know anything about, you know, the geopolitical Iraqi-Turkey problem, you can localize. Every time you see the mail and the news and the Kurds are in the news, right there they are. They're the Medes, and it was the Medo-Persian Empire. But of the lineage of the Medes, or modern-day Kurds, was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. There's still a province in Iraq. And if you know anybody that served in Iraq, they probably crisscrossed through the province today of Chaldea. It's still there. And so, I mean, we're talking about places that are still around. But he was the king over the Chaldeans. And it says in verse 2, in the first year of his reign, and this is about 540 years before Christ. So think 500 plus years. So the 6th century BC is when Daniel was. He was a historic person 600 years before Christ, right at the tail end of the captivity, and you're going to see that, of the 70-year captivity. I, Daniel, understand by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah. So what was he studying? Daniel studied the book of Jeremiah. Oh, wow. Isn't that neat to think that one of the inspired prophets read the Bible to find the Lord's will, to know the future? So he's studying the word through Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. By the way, it's Jeremiah 25, if you ever want to track with that. Jeremiah 25, and specifically verses 11 and 12, God says that he had determined that Israel's disobedience merited 70 years of being in captivity under their enemies. But keep reading now into verse 3, because this is where we start going toward the first letter of the Acts model. Then I set my face toward the Lord God, to make request by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. So that's interesting. Prayer, he set his face toward the Lord. He involved making request. He did it by praying and supplications. And by the way, I mean, we don't have time, but in the Old Testament, that word prayer that we have translated in English, there are at least 7 different Hebrew words that are translated by one English word, prayer. 7 different Hebrew words, one English word. 7 underlying, different, completely different elements or attitudes of prayer. They're translated by one English word. So what I'm saying by that is there are a lot of flavors of prayer, that when we think prayer, we just kind of have something in our mind, but God in the Old Testament has a diversity. In fact, some of these words are just sounds, groaning sounds. He said he just groaned, called that prayer. It was so heavy a burden. He just cried out and made sounds. But he prayed and supplicated with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes, which is very serious. I mean, he is starting to really get into this intercession that he's doing. And verse 4, and I prayed to the Lord, my God, and made confession and said, and so this is his prayer. And verse 4, the rest of verse 4 is his beginning. He starts the prayer with adoration. And this is what he does. And that's why we have the A of the Acts model, the adoration. And so, in your Bibles, everybody see where we are in verse 4? If you do, say yes. So whatever version of the Bible you have, right when it says, I prayed the Lord, made confession, and said, when it gets into the content of his prayer, let's just read that in the diversity of what you have, just to get that set in our mind, that adoration part of his prayer. So we're going to read the rest of verse 4 out loud. You ready? Right where you're seated with your Bible open, whatever version you have. Here we go. O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. That's pretty close, isn't it? See, we're all coming from the same underlying text. So you notice that he calls God great. He calls him Lord, and then he says, you're great. Then he says, you're awesome. Then he says, you keep your covenant. You have mercy with us who love you and those who keep your commandments. So he's adoring the Lord's faithfulness and love and consistency. So that's the adoration part. Now look down at your sheets there. Under adoration, he learned about the Lord by observing in the books. That's verse 2. He gave attention. I mean, he didn't just read. And more than half of our congregation of us here and in the morning congregation are going cover to cover. Over 700. That's more than half of the morning attendance. And as we read the Bible, look at that verse 3. He gave attention and he sought. See, when we read the Bible, we don't read it like a menu, or we don't read it like a bill, and we don't read it like the internet. We pay attention in a different, because the spiritual part of us gets engaged. So he engaged his heart and gave attention to seek not the words alone. See, we don't worship, you know, literature. We worship the God who has revealed himself in propositional truth. It's written down and we believe every word of it. But some of the greatest Bible scholars weren't Christians. You know that. So my library is filled with them. They're liberal. They don't believe in the resurrection, but they love the words and they studied them. And they can tell you more about the background and the grammar and the sequence and the implications of the text, but they never went beyond the words to the person. And that's the first thing we see Daniel doing in his adoration. He sought him, verse 3. And then, you notice in your adoration section, he called out some of the qualities of the Lord, great and awesome, and reminders of his faithfulness keeps the covenant. So that's the adoration. Now move down to verse 5. We go into the confession part. Now look at how he confesses. This is Daniel praying, but he doesn't say, I'm overweight, I'm lazy. You notice how he prays? This is a very beautiful model for public prayer. He says, we have sinned, your people. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Now, he's in the we. He's identifying with it. But, you know, a lot of times some people aren't sure how they can do a confession part because they don't want to say, Lord, I'm scared all the time and, you know, can't sleep at night and anxious and afraid someone's going to break in my house and steal all my, you know, whatever, my porcelains or something, you know, if you have some to steal. You know, most people don't have that. Rather, they're afraid someone's going to take their house away because they haven't paid for the porcelains, you know, but whatever it is. We have sinned. We've committed iniquity. We've done wickedly and rebelled and departed from, and then he uses two of the synonyms for the Bible from the 119th Psalm, the precepts of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord. And then look at verse 6. This is so all of us could relate to this. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets. You know what, tonight? Americans, this is something we need to confess. Do you know what the Old Testament prophets said over and over again? That we should not be so concerned about a prophet that we cause the people who work to not earn enough money to even survive. See, that is not just modern titans of industry that does that. That was in the Hebrew culture. that they were so greedy of profit that they would pay their reapers of their fields just enough to make it while they were sumptuously. And the Lord says, no, you have got to realize that when you help the poor, you're helping me. And that compassion, that and there were just as many bad poor people then as there are nowadays, but you still helped them. And that's something, I mean, there's this listening to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. And then he just goes on and on. I mean, you can just read all the way down through verse 14. And this is something that when we, I mean, in our small groups as we're praying, we could say, Lord, it's so easy for me to read the Bible and think of someone else. And I confess that I don't first of all say, Lord, convict me, speak to me, change me. See, that's what he's saying. He's saying, we haven't listened to your servants, the prophets. We've deflected and said, that's for somebody else. And he says, so you can see the nature of this. You know, verse 9, the Lord belongs mercy and forgiveness, though we've rebelled. You know, we are rebels from the womb. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. I mean, all of us can say, and what he's equating, look at what verse 10 says, obeying God equals obeying his word. You notice that Daniel equates that. Obedience to God is not vague. He's written down what he wants. And so he's confessing, I haven't always done what you want. And you can go all the way through verse 14. And the elements I put down there in verse 6 on your sheets, not listen to the prophets, unfaithful in deeds, verse 7, rebelled, verse 9, not obeyed his voice, verse 10, turned aside. And not, verse 13 is probably the most glaring one, especially for being out on a snowy night, all of us. We love the Lord and we want to serve him, but sometimes we aren't giving our attention to him. It just gets old. You know, it's just, yeah, I already know that. And so we have to keep our attention focused. It's something that the Lord loves, is for us to be looking at him. Then verse 15, look at the Thanksgiving section, and we can enlarge that as big as you want. So in my Bible, I have Acts modeled by chapter 9, and I start down there. In verse 4, and I put adoration with a little line, and then verse 5 all the way down to 14, I put confession, and I have different things marked and underlined every time I read this. But thanksgiving starts in verse 15, and he says, and now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand. Wow. He's just reflecting on what marvelous, the deliverance of the Lord and the celebration that they did every year of the Passover, and made yourself as a name as it is this day. He's talking about the goodness of the Lord. And the thanksgiving, you can go all the way back to the keeping his commands and everything else, and mercy all the way. But the specific break here is he stops confessing and he goes into this thankfulness, and then he goes right back in verse 15, into the, you know, but we haven't responded. Now look at verse 16. He changes gear, and look at what he starts doing. It's a whole series. You know, the thanksgiving, he brought us out and made a name, but the supplication is in verse 16, 17, and 19, really clearly. He says, O Lord, according to your righteousness, let your anger be turned away from your city, Jerusalem. So he's praying on behalf of Jerusalem. And then, in verse 17, now, therefore, do all this for your cause and make your face shine on your sanctuary. I mean, that's something that we can pray. Make your face shine in Kalamazoo. Make your face shine in my neighborhood. How about in my home, in my family, in my marriage? That is a supplication. Lord, just shine. Like there's so much darkness around us. I want to shine as I go back to school. I want to shine as I go back to work or whatever. That's the supplication. Then he goes on in verse 19, and he says, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act or take action. Don't delay. And he offers these supplications. Now, going through that, it's just an exercise, and you can adore using anything you know, any part of Scripture, but you follow, you know, the pattern he's giving here, then confessing, anything, especially the smaller group, you can confess anything that you're willing to share. Thanksgiving, you can thank the Lord for multitudes of things, then going into supplication. But on the back side, now you can flip your sheets over. There are a lot of verses about supplication, things we can pray about. The reason that we pray earnestly, repeatedly, is Matthew 7:7. We should ask and seek and knock, asking. And we can pray for personal holiness, for complete surrender to Christ, for an undivided heart, for spiritual growth for ourselves and for others, for hunger and thirst for righteousness, for ourselves and for others. And then, especially as we're going into the season of marching through the Scripture, for ears to hear the Lord's instruction.